My name is LPGOB, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. We talk about how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show to bring you new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. I'm your host, Josh Levine, and this week I take you backstage at the Shrine Amphitheater. We catch up with LPGOB. She's moments before she goes on stage to open for Sophie Tucker. She's on tour all across America with Sophie Tucker and with Galantis. So make sure you find her if she's coming to your city. She's a DJ, producer. She's the leader of the nonprofit FemHouse, which is teaching women how to produce electronic music. She's also the music director at W Hotels. And she's a co-founder of the Animal Talk Collective with Sophie Tucker, which is a publishing company and much more. Man, I'm tired just listing everything that she does. It's amazing. She's got some great stories. She tells us kind of a surprising bit about how she became a DJ, one of my favorite stories that I've heard lately. And we talk about collaboration, imposter syndrome, prioritizing, all kind of good stuff in a short episode. So let's dig in right after our EDM.com track of the week. Was Uptown with Addicted, the EDM.com track of the week. If you like that one, get over to EDM.com and check out more new music. And now let's get into the interview with LPGOB. Nothing's live. You can,
Yeah, no, I'm working on it. I just changed so many things in my show.
Oh, you did?
I not done that.
No, go with it.
You know what?
You gotta go
know
with
what?
It.
If it doesn't work, then I'll know.
Exactly. If you're not going to try stuff,
right?
You're not going to learn. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
No, that's totally head. True.
I think it's going to make it better, but I've just not done a lot of it before. But you know what? Leap. You just got to leap sometimes.
What have you tried that didn't work?
What's that?
What have you tried that didn't work?
Well, I'm kind of, because it's weird. I have two sets. So, like, I only have a 30-minute journey with everybody.
Yeah.
And so, like, normally, I know how to compose, like, an hour to 3-hour set, you know?
Sure.
But now it's like, before I was trying to do it all in 30 minutes, and so now, and I have like a lot of gear that I incorporate in different ways, and so I just think I need to pick a vibe for each set.
Yeah.
And the first set's going to be more gear-based, I think, but I haven't really done a 30-minute set with mostly just the gear yet, so.
Cool.
Is that a bad idea?
Why?
You know what? Yeah, whatever. Nobody's going to be there for my first set anyway, so.
Yeah, LA folks show up late.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
Great. Okay, yeah. Then I'm good.
It's good. Then you get to work it out.
Yeah, totally.
You'll see what you feel and a few people that are there.
Yeah.
You'll get a movement. I've seen some of your stuff online. You're like killing the crowd.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like for me, it's so interesting being a DJ playing on a stage.
Yeah.
Know? Because.
Oh, it's totally different than a club, right?
Oh my gosh, in the club, like I can feel them. I can like see them. They're like, you know. And on the stage, they're like there. And so sometimes I just like, I keep my like.
Right, right. It's funny, we interview a lot of DJs, and you know, everyone talks about reading the room and kind of what that means for them. And then I go, so what's that like at a festival? And they're like, oh yeah, it doesn't.
Exactly. So yeah. It doesn't exist that you just, I always kind of have a very good idea of what I'm going to play at a festival.
Right.
And I'm realizing stages are similar in that way. Like there, there's 3,000 people here. We're not gonna like necessarily become a unified, you know, one mindset necessarily. Right. That's the goal.
Although I have seen that.
Yeah, right. And I mean,
I've seen it, but it's rare.
Yeah, and also I think that to usually a DJ is not like nobody like it. You know, back in the day, at least before they were like on God towers, you're not supposed to like look and stare at the DJ, right? So an event.
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
But people do.
I know. But especially on a stage, it's literally, that's, you know, for sure. So
I have friends who are DJs who like yell at people for staring at them.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like, okay, so is there a separation between a DJ set and like live, live
there
set?
There is. Yeah.
But like, I'm still, I can't, like, my background is being in a band. And
right.
Like, so like, I would never call what I do live, but I am going to incorporate more gear into it. So, you know, it's giving me an opportunity on a stage to like do more of that. And like in a club, kind of unnecessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear about this background.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm really excited
me.
To learn about you. I've been watching all your stuff online. It's amazing.
Thank you.
You definitely make my kind of music.
Oh, good.
And I love your team. Paula is an old friend who I love. She's Susie, great. I've known forever. Love her as well.
I have a remarkable
and,
team.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so lucky. Yeah.
You're
badass women. It's crazy.
You're doing good things.
Thank you.
That's amazing. So let's talk about how you got started, and I know you grew up playing music as well, but do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself?
Yes. Mighty Mighty Boston's.
Oh, wow.
It was a tape.
Okay.
And I saved up for it.
That, from, we have come a long
like,
way.
My allowance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that and also Cyndi Lauper.
I think I'm friends with the one of the Boston's.
You're kidding. I used to love
I think so.
It
he does A&R now.
Had to knock on wood. That's them, right?
Sure.
So I'm glad I've never had.
Let's say it is.
I wonder if I could. Anyways, I love that song. Yeah.
And with Cyndi Lauper. Girls just want to have fun?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, and actually, Time After Time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you love, you can look and you will
find me. Time. Classic.
I mean, that's the better record.
Yeah.
For like,
the B-side? Yeah.
For like music people, like that's the better record.
Yeah.
But obviously.
Not
that,
obvious choice, so.
Right, but that song was such an undeniable hit.
Yeah, beautiful. And also.
You didn't buy that. You weren't around when that came out, though. You bought that like after the fact.
Possibly. I don't know. I remember getting my hands on the tape and like being obsessive with how she wore and how she wore it. And like that was even more than the music, was just like, look at this crazy girl. You can be crazy like this. You know, inspiring.
And then, so then you grew up playing music.
Yeah, in second grade, I went to my parents and I was like, I have to take piano lessons.
Nice.
And they were like, you're way too young and you can barely sit still for more than 5 minutes.
Sure.
No, we're not gonna spend money on that.
Yeah.
But they-
Smart parents.
Yeah. But they're amazing humans and they went and found me a piano teacher. And this woman, Carolyn Horn, lived in Eugene. And she normally wouldn't take anybody under fourth grade, but my parents were like, just meet with her. And so I met with her and it was like our two souls were like,
nice.
Like she is my person. She's the most amazing kindred spirit, just spark plug. So I studied with her all the way through 12th grade before I left for college. And like in middle school and I, you know, didn't want to practice and most people quit.
Yeah.
She captivated me by, you know, just cultivating creativity. So instead of doing scales some days, we would just like play the inside of the piano. Or some lessons we would just play the bongos. Or some lessons we would just sit and talk. And so for that reason, I stayed with it. And so it's truly because of her that I'm sitting here right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's remarkable.
I'm excited about that because I have a young son who plays music and I'm deathly afraid that he's going to quit like way too early.
Totally. For me, it was all about the teacher. Like I just never wanted to, I always wanted to be around her.
Yeah. No, I think that's big. I think that like, you know, you find these people in your life that inspire you to do different things. And without that, it's just a piece of wood or...
Totally,
you know.
Totally. And, you know, like this show is a big show for me and I'm pretty nervous and I always have to, like what grounds me is thinking about her, you know, like.
Nice.
Just, she taught me how to, you know, find my inner child and share joy and like nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how perfect you play or whatever, just like tap into that.
So, and then when did you come to now you make house music?
Yeah. Yes, that is a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey that I wish I could go back in time and be like, get there sooner.
Yeah.
I started studying jazz in middle school, or I guess high school.
It's a big future in that.
So then I went to college, and I love school. I was really nerdy. And so my parents assumed I was going to do masters and, higher education.
What were you going to be? They're
deadheads. They're like hippies. They are, they actually I was a straight A student, and they wanted me to get a B because they thought I was too intense, and they wanted me to show me that the world will not end if you get a B.
I'm not so sure about that.
And I was so type A.
Right.
I still am. So I didn't know what I wanted my major to be. And my parents were like, just take all the classes that you love, and then, that'll be your major, and then you can go and get a master's, and it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up with a jazz piano performance degree from UC Berkeley.
Okay.
Which, then I graduated, and I kind of was burnt out from school, and I was like, now what am I going to do
with
this? Great advice, parents! and so I actually ended up working for a concert promoter in the Bay Area, but at night I would play jazz gigs at this local bar.
Okay.
For fun. And this producer who was working with Daft Punk and Justice, he heard me one night and asked if I wanted to move to LA and join an all-female electronic band.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't even know what a synthesizer is. And he was like, oh, that's the easy part. If you have, if you have theory and you know how to play, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I believed him. That it would be easy.
Yeah.
Because it was 3 years of hitting my head against the wall as I was trapped in a garage learning synthesis and sound design and Pro Tools and Ableton and how to MIDI clock 7 synths on stage live, and it was intense. It was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, and but that's where I started to learn how to produce. But we were making really weird experimental music, and I was playing Snow Globe Music Festival, mm-hmm. and I was the opening set for Sophie Tucker, but I was just DJing off my laptop. It was bad, okay? Nobody was there except for my mom, who was only on the dance floor to feed me chicken nuggets.
And it's freezing, right?
What's that?
It's cold.
And it's freezing, it's cold. I'm like, is this my life? Yeah. Is this gonna be my, it was a dark moment. And then I left. And I got a DM on Instagram from Sophie Tucker, and they were like, we were backstage, we listened to your whole set, we loved it, do you want to come on tour with us?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm not a DJ. I'm a piano player, and I'm in this weird band, and they're like, well, we liked what you played, if you want to come, come.
Right.
So I learned how to DJ on the road, and literally, at shows, a lot of hit and miss. And then Tucker was like, you should start making music that you would play in a DJ set. You're also this joyous person, and you're making this really dark music. What if you didn't?
Yeah.
So, while DJing, I learned what worked on the dance floor, and I learned what got me excited, which ultimately gets them excited. And so that's kind of how it started.
This episode of Rebel Radio is brought to you by HoneyBook. If you run a business, or you're starting a business, or you got a little side hustle, whatever it is, you need HoneyBook. It's an online business management tool that organizes all your client communications, your bookings, contracts, invoices in one place. It makes it simple to run your business better. There's templates, automation. It works with some of the services I'm sure you already use, like QuickBooks, Google Suite, Excel, MailChimp. It saves you time and lets you do more of the stuff that you love. And right now, HoneyBook is offering our listeners half off when you visit honeybook.com/rebel. Payment's flexible, and the promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. Go to honeybook.com/rebel for 50% off your first year. That's honeybook.com/rebel. Some people might not have had the wisdom to take advice from strangers.
I was a huge Sophie Tucker fan, though.
Okay.
And I loved what they did. In fact,
cool.
One of the songs I was working on with the band at the time, I just found this journal, and I opened it up, and a reference track was Drinky.
Nice.
Which is so funny I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
And also, it was good advice. Like I really come alive if the music speaks to me, and I think that the period with the band was like a really weird experimental angsty period, and it was great. I'm so grateful for it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm like a
yeah. You don't seem
super like angsty. Really like happiness.
Yeah. Happiness is cool, it turns out.
Yeah, and that took me a long time. Like, I wanted to be cool. Yeah. And then finally, Soph and Tuck were like, you're not that cool. Just lean into that. And, like, that will make you cool. So I think I'm finally getting there. Yeah.
So was that, the way you tell it was, like, pretty instantaneous.
Oh, my gosh. It felt like forever.
Yeah.
But it actually was only a few years.
Okay. I meant like making that decision to kind of shift gears.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at first I wasn't good enough to produce the music I wanted to play.
Yeah.
You know, I had a bar that was set and it was just, I was not hitting it. And it probably didn't, like the tracks I'm releasing now, I mean, even the first few tracks I released, I probably wouldn't, I don't play a lot of them anymore, you know?
What's the first track that feels like...
Yeah, Deja La Pasar.
Okay.
And I'll play it I'll definitely play it tonight. I love playing it live because there's like
song.
A moment where I can rip on the piano and do like some jazz riffs just like over the breakdown. And sometimes I'm like, oh, should I have recorded that in the actual recording? But whatever, let it go. So that's probably...
No, because then you can do it on stage.
I know, it makes it a little bit special to see it. Yeah, that's what I hope.
Yeah.
So, it's been a journey. I mean, it's still a journey. I keep thinking, this is it, and then, it evolves.
So now you're a very busy woman with W Hotels.
Yeah. Femhouse. Yeah.
Is it Animal Collective?
Animal Talk Collective.
Animal Talk.
Yeah.
Animal Collectives, that
other
thing.
That other group,
right.
tricky.
So let's talk about all that. Like, first of all, so what are you doing for W?
I'm the North American Music Director.
Okay.
Which means I help and consult on their record label, their recording studios, their music festivals. I book a lot of our living room live shows, which are shows on property.
Yeah.
And I also curate all the sounds that you hear when you walk into the hotel. So it's a lot, but it's actually, so 10 years ago, when I was working for Another Planet Entertainment, I was like interning in college and I opened up a Billboard magazine and I saw that W Hotels had just started this position, Global mm-hmm. Music Curator, and I thought, oh my gosh, to get to play with brand money and like, you know, book the acts that you love and believe in. And so I thought, awesome. And I ripped it out and I put it on my vision board. Not even kidding you. And 10 years later, I
Here
am
you
that
are.
Person.
That's amazing.
Hey, manifestation. Maybe
so why are you the right one for that role?
I think that, so I have a background in the music industry, and I also am an artist. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of allows me to see both sides of the coin. And I also, have a lot of great relationships with artists who I really believe in who are coming up, and W is all about what's new and next. And to be able to, plug them into the right channels, and I know both parties will get something out of that is a real treat for me.
Was that hard to get? I mean, it seems like, I love it. I think you're probably doing great stuff for them. I haven't been in a W in a while.
I just heard it, so that's fair.
Okay. But you can, I think it would be easy to imagine a brand like that just wanting a big name who probably doesn't even do it themselves and they have somebody else do everything. And
yeah,
just,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, there are, I think that to a certain degree, like, the festival headliners still need to be big names, obviously.
Sure, of course.
And there is, some of that, but what's
I'm just saying the music director position, see him, like, just the press release of, like, Jay-Z's our music director, whoever.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that they got to a place where, like, we need somebody who will actually do work.
Yeah.
And
helps.
I am a workhorse, so I think that they're actually more surprised by, like, the... I've been doing a lot of brand partnerships for them, and I don't know if they necessarily saw that coming, but I'm working on something with them in Dolby right now because I've worked with Dolby as an artist before, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
A lot of fun opportunities.
Yeah. And then tell me about Femhouse.
Femhouse is what really makes me happy and keeps me going.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you know, being an artist is so like me, and it's exhausting and also not a healthy way to live.
Yeah.
So, Femhouse is it's a platform to help teach women how to produce music tangibly. It's a monthly workshop based in LA. It's free for women and non-binary. And safe space to learn how to use Ableton and program drums and what MIDI concepts are. And I think there's this this weird narrative in LA that is there's so many talented singer songwriters who are sort of waiting for a producer to like pluck them out of obscurity.
Sure.
And you know, and that is usually a male role. It's 3% of women are producers or something crazy.
Mm.
And the producer role is so important because it controls the sound of the song, therefore you know the sound of their voice. And mm-hmm. so I felt impassioned to help give women those tools. And not like, obviously not every woman's gonna go and be a producer, but at least
sure.
speak the language in the studio so they can still sort of own the sound of their song.
Yeah.
And also it expands what you thought you could be. So I was constantly in the band, we were in rooms with male producers and I had awesome experiences. But it wasn't until I heard that Grimes produced her own record that I even thought that could be a role I could have.
Mm.
And you know, just lack of visual representation. And my parents were hippies. They're like, "You can do anything. You definitely like almost too much."
Right.
But I just never saw myself in that role, so it didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
So when I realized like, oh, I could be that, and then it opened my mind up to like, what else could I do that I didn't think I could do? So I think that's why Femhouse is important, and I've met so many amazing women. It's blown my mind. I'm really lucky to be a part of it.
Oh, wait, nice. Let's do it again.
If you're enjoying this, let's go back into Rebel Radio archives. Check out my interview with Sophie Tucker live at Coachella a couple years ago. I got them backstage and we had a quick short interview talking about their really unique and amazing partnership and their kind of rise to where they've gotten. It's been amazing seeing how far they've come since then, seeing them on stage at the Shrine the other night. There's a cult following. There's people wearing all kind of crazy outfits that they either sold or inspired, and it's just a really cool thing they have going on. So check that one out too.
Who are the women that, other than Cyndi Lauper and Sophie,
only Cyndi Lauper,
that have kind of influenced you? In music or in your career?
Yeah, great question. Ooh, there's my piano teacher, the first one, Carolyn Horn. Shout out. I'm working with an artist named Kalina Zanders right now.
Okay.
We have a track coming out together, and she has really opened my mind to the possibility of combining ways to combine different genres in a way that, you know, I mean, it's important to her, like, we need to make music that people will play and listen to, you know, and which is... But she never follows trends. She's just aware of them and then puts her own, like, what does that mean to you? You know, right now, like, tech house, bass house is, like, very in, but, like, what does that mean in your language? And so she's really opened my skill set to being able to sift through that and, like, put it through my DAW system, you know?
I've heard, I'm gonna let you finish, but.
No, yeah, go.
People talk about, they talk about the difference between male and female leaders in CEOs, right? And I always cringe a little bit, it's because we're just like, it's just more stereotypes, but like they'll, you know, generalize that, you know, female CEOs are often more inclusive, or they're more adaptable, right?
Yeah.
There's.
Is, biologically, I think, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I actually read one thing that women are harder negotiators when they're negotiating on behalf of someone else, and men are better negotiators, or they're tougher when they're negotiating on their own behalf.
Yeah.
So have a female lawyer.
I do. Great. Good.
Okay, good. but don't be a female lawyer.
Right. Interesting. Right? Yeah. So
would you say that there's similar differences to producing music?
I think that there's like already a mental battle that I mean, I can only speak for myself, but that I go through with, you know, imposter syndrome and like believing that I can do something. And I don't know if that's because...
Everyone has that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that. I don't know how gendered it is, but like there's even, I have less, you know, representation to look at.
Sure.
And so I think that like I have to really dig deep for that like belief that I can do this. I think a lot of people do. I'm not necessarily saying it's just gendered, but...
Yeah.
I also, I mean, I really love collaborating in songs and production, but I think that's just because I really love being around other people's energy, and being in a studio by yourself is a really solitary, isolating thing.
Right.
So I don't know.
So what makes someone a good collaborator for you?
I think that it's really, so it's, to me, it's like, whoa.
Don't fall.
I got so excited. To me, it's like, not charades. When people stand up, not stand up, but...
Improv,
thank you. It's like improv.
Yeah.
So like the first rule of improv is yes and.
Mm-hmm.
Like you never shut something down.
Mm-hmm.
And the best sessions I've had or the best songs that have come out of what I've done have always been yes and. Like you have to just go with it.
Yeah.
And also, if, you know, you have to go with whatever somebody else's idea is. Even if you right away are like, I don't think that's going to be it, but like say yes and let it flow, you know? And that's been a really, and I, you know, my type A personality is like, tends to like, and so it's been really good for me to like work on yes and.
Yeah.
And that's probably, yeah, that's, I think that makes a good collaboration.
Yeah.
Two people who can do that together, or, you know, three, whatever.
I love talking about Femme House. There's the track Manifesto.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which I thought, so it's the manifesto of
it's the manifesto of Animal Talk, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Animal Talk is a language that says uplift instead of threaten. That says the more one artist shines, the more we all shine. It says we do everything in our power to nourish, inspire, encourage, and protect our friends on the stage and off the stage.
Well, I love that concept of putting manifesto in a song.
Thank you. Yeah, that was really fun. We did that on a tour bus.
No one's done that before. That's
cool. Yeah, we were...
So, and then tell me about Animal Talk.
Animal Talk is an artist collective. Again, tangibly, it's a publishing company, a joint venture, Third Side. But it's also a party where we go into clubs and turn it into neon jungles, and everybody gets animal masks and dresses like animals, and like we rave all night. And as you'll see, I oftentimes like howl on stage, just to, like, you know, let it out. And so like that's what the party is.
Nice.
And it's about tapping into your inner child and uplifting others around you. You know, the more light that shines on others, the more will hit you is the concept. Because I think in the music industry, it's like sometimes feels like there can only be one on top. And we don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
The song, The Manifesto, says it all. Sophie wrote that. And we made the music to that on a tour, literally on an off day on the tour bus. It was so fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you got this track, Amber Rose, that's blowing up.
Oh my gosh, that, yeah, see, even that is like, I don't know if I would, because going back to right now, who I'm really inspired by, Kink is probably like my biggest.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with him. Like every morning while I work out, I watch a video of him live.
Okay.
I think he's everything.
Really?
The music he makes, the EP he just put out, the Piano House EP, it's like, ugh. I'm so mad I didn't make those songs, you know?
Okay.
And how he uses gear, and he's just, oh, he's a genius. But where was I going with that? What was your question?
Just the Amber Rose track.
Oh yeah, so I love Amber Rose. Like, would I make it now? I don't know, but it's one of my. I mean, I people, you know, when I'm DJing at a club, will usually write on their phone like, have I missed Amber Rose?
Of course.
Like, okay, I guess I'm playing that. but that track was so. That was one of the first songs I ever made. It was the first song I made.
Oh really?
Yes, and I was actually talking to Tucker about, you know, what, like, should I have vocals on my track? Should I not? You know, what? How do I even start doing this? And he's like, well, you really care about, you know, empowering the female voice. Like, are there any friends that you have that, like, have written feminist poems that you could, like, throw on top or whatever? So I called her Mix-a-Lot, and she's an amazing poet. I'm like, have you written a feminist poem recently? And she's like, yeah, I'll come down and show you. So actually, my microphone was broken, so she recorded it. I just plugged my headphones into the input and, you know, recorded that way. And it's still my favorite sounding vocal. So funny. And she started saying, I'll never forget this. I was like, okay, play her a beat. And she's like, I Amber Rose on these hoes. Amber Rose. And I was like, I stopped it. And I was like, what is that? Like, I hated it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was like, what is this? This is not feminist. Amber, why are you, you know? And she broke it down for me. She is, actually, this is extremely feminist. Like, this is a woman who was told, like, you're only worth your body, you're trash, sure, whatever. And she flipped that story and, you know, now sitting in a mansion. She's doing just fine. So I was like, that's okay, right. Like, let's go with this. And, yeah, it turned into the track that it is. And it's a bop.
No, I love it. And I could see why, like... People, I mean, it's just infectious.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, my friends called me. They were at Fire Island recently, and they heard it playing in the club, and they called me, and I was like, I feel like I can retire if this song is being played out there.
It's like it makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, and it's a voguing moment, and like that is the community that I love, so.
Yeah. And you know, I love that story because I think, you know, it bothers me a little bit when feminism is only defined in these narrow confines of a certain perspective or certain style, right?
Yeah, and, totally. That's fair.
And, you know, as I would say with anything, right, there's always different perspectives and ways to look at it.
Yeah.
No, it's cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What's next? What do you, you got this tour?
I have this tour, and then I'm going out on the road with Maddie on after this.
Oh, okay.
His direct support for a run playing Galantis, with Galantis at the Shrine next week.
Nice.
So I'm popping off this tour for a day and coming back. And then go to Europe with Sophie Tucker.
Nice.
And I play Snow Globe Music Festival.
Have you done Europe yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Yeah, I love it there. And also it's going to be during the holidays, and I am, amazing. I'm pretty much elf. So I'm freaking out that I'm going to be over there during the, during the Christmas markets. Right. Like, my head's just going to be like, I'm going to miss all the shows.
Of course.
And I have a track coming out with TT the Artist. She's so dope. And I have another track coming out with Crush Club. TT the Artist is the end of this month. Crush Club is next month. It's called Angel. It's coming out on Sweat It Out. And it is, you'll hear it tonight. It's, you know, just, it's a bop. It's another one of those songs like we made in a day, and we were like just laughing the whole time, and it just worked. I guess that's what happens when you're happy and creating.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what to say no to?
I'm bad at that. I literally, I say yes to everything, which is a problem.
Yeah.
My family and friends and partner are like, oh my God, they don't, I probably could work on a little bit more balance. But I just feel so excited and like in such an intense time of creativity right now and like just like fed by it all. And so I'm okay saying yes to too many things right now. But I'm at a certain point, I'll probably have to.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, lightning round before I let you go get on stage.
Okay.
What's your favorite city to travel to?
Chicago.
Nice. We don't get that one a lot.
Really? What do you get?
I don't know.
It's like literally the best city.
No, it's great. People either name.
Only one answer.
A lot of people say like where they're from, which is weird.
Oh, definitely.
That's fine.
Eugene, Oregon. No, I'm sorry. I love Eugene, but.
No, Chicago's a great city. I love it there. Who's your favorite DJ?
Kink.
What's the last great book you read?
I just read, it was my first book that I read that wasn't a self-help book in like 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. I was like, this is fun. Where the Crawdads Sing. It's like pretty popular right now.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah. But I'm also, now I just started reading Patti Smith's new book.
Oh, yeah.
The Monkey, You're the Monkey. And that's, it's like very weird and like, you know, stream of consciousness. And my aunt gave that to me. She came to my show in Portland. She gave it to me so that I could like read something and come down after the shows at night on the tour bus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's been fun.
What's your favorite self-help book?
The book that changed my life, like probably the second reason I'm sitting here, The Artist's Way. It's everything.
That's awesome. What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Have I seen the most? Yeah. Oh, I hate watching the same movie twice.
You do?
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know if I ever have.
Really?
Because I feel like what a waste of time. I've already seen it. I've consumed that. Like, consume something new.
That's amazing.
But you know what? I've seen one more than twice. The Piano.
That's
you know, have you seen that? Where she's running through the forest and the cinematography and the... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You ever wake up with a song in your head?
I think I have, like, I've woke up with a melody in my head one time.
Oh, no, like a song you know.
Oh, a song I know. Yeah.
What's the last one you remember?
Oh, great question. That is a good question. I know. Well, it's a Sophie Tucker song. Sacrifice. Oh. It's not out yet.
Okay.
It's so good.
Nice. I'm going to tell you my last one.
Oh, good.
Because I make a playlist. I started making a playlist.
Well, like, did you just want to get stuck in your head?
Oh, Galvanize, the Chemical Brothers.
Oh, that's sick.
I love that song.
Well, you woke up with that in your head?
Yeah,
what is going on in your head?
And then I just put in the playlist.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Sometimes it's songs I don't like, which sucks. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is.
I feel like that's usually the case for me, except for Sacrifice.
If I worked for you, what would I hear you say over and over?
Okay, I'm so sorry to do this, but... Probably that.
Yeah, that's good. That gets you a lot of license.
Right? I said sorry first.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul is probably like, yep, definitely. Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. This is great.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see the show.
Thank you.
Come back anytime and promote more stuff.
Cool.
And we'll be watching you. Yeah.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yo, that was LPG Obi on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. Make sure you hit us up. Leave us a comment, a review on Apple, on Twitter, on Facebook. Our pages are at RebelRadioNet. We have videos from a lot of our episodes going up on our YouTube channel at RebelRadioNet. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.